Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
I don't know. Do you think teachers should give extra credit if the kids ask for it? I've been pushing my daughter. She's a freshman in high school, so this is kind of like the first time that she's really independent. You know, like I don't get involved with the teachers if there's a problem or whatever. Like she has to handle it on her own.
Okay, that can be a good idea.
Yeah, you know, she's got to learn. Like at that age, like that's when you start advocating for yourself. So first semester closed yesterday, and she's got all great grades. Except in her Spanish class, she struggles with Spanish. For a child who has taken Spanish since kindergarten, she can't speak six words. I don't even understand how for such a smart girl, she can't figure out Spanish. We are a family of immigrants. My parents are from Italy. She grew up around a foreign language, Italian. She can't do it. Like, it's unbelievable.
Does she speak Italian?
Not really either.
Okay.
No, I don't understand why. She can understand my parents like I can too, but when she speaks it, it's a mess.
Okay.
But anyway, her Spanish grade is an 89.6. She has fought to get it to that because
I was going to say, I mean, that's a good grade.
Of course it is. At the end of the day, great, you did it. You know, it's for one semester down, three more to go. But I said, you know, you should talk to the teacher, tell him that you're really struggling, how hard you're trying, and see if you can do anything extra to bump it up to an A-. So she went and she talked to him, and he said, I don't give extra credit, no. Part of me was like, okay, like he doesn't give extra credit. And then part of me is like, if you see a child who's struggling, trying really hard, putting in the extra effort, offering to do extra work, for 0.4, you're not going to say, okay, do this or whatever?
I think that obviously everything comes down to whether or not it's offered for everybody, right? So if you have a public opportunity for kids to try and make up a grade, a half grade point or a three quarter grade point, yeah, I think that it would add some incentive even for your students too. And how difficult would it be for you as a teacher? It's essentially just another assignment, and you could have this available every semester to all your students. On the other hand, exceptions are where the problems lie in. I know that this isn't a popular opinion with plenty of people, but I believe that at this point, a kid should be offered extra credit if indeed they've put themselves in position to be successful. They should also be offered to make up assignments that they missed. If they were not in attendance for whatever reason, I think that kid should have that opportunity every day. Because again, the problem is like, well, they were sick this time, or no, their parents took them out of school, so we're not going to offer it. The exception to the rule is the issue. 0.6 of a grade. I would want to help a kid who was trying hard.
Yeah. I don't know. So then part of me, and I have it in my hand right now, is like, I'm going to send an email. And I'm going to say, like she's really struggled. I can tell you from my point of view, sitting next to her every night.
Yeah, she's tried.
She's tried very hard. Is there anything that you can do to offer to help her going forward? Because she's stuck with this class for the rest of the year. And then the other part is like, she's 14 now. She's a freshman. She has to learn how to do these things on her own. Mommy can't jump in all the time.
Yeah, you're breaking your first rule.
Right.
Of the reason was for you to stay out of it.
I know. I don't know. It's right here. It's right here. The email is started. I don't know what
you want
to
me to send it to him anonymously?
You should.
Hey, no one in particular, but if I was a teacher.
That's even weirder. Why is it trending? Top news stories trending and why. Yesterday was a big day because all the holiday lists were released.
Oh,
I see what's going on here, Raven.
I love it.
So it's essentially become a battle between Oprah and Gwyneth Paltrow. It's the holiday gift list and the gift guide go head to head against each other.
I mean, I think they're probably still both doing all right.
Yeah, but I think they're both rich.
But
I'm pretty sure.
Right, but it's a holiday war.
It's a holiday gift war.
All right.
So Oprah...
I think you all know that favorite things started because I wanted to share the gifts that I love with other people.
This is lovely.
And this year, I found some really good ones to share with you.
So what I've realized about her list over the years is that it used to be like, oh, it's got all these crazy things on it. No. Now it's like a normal list that I would actually refer to see what kind of cool things are on it.
Well, I think she probably figured out that there's a whole lot more in reaching her demo if she talks to actual people.
Correct.
Regular people.
On the flip side, there's Gwyneth Paltrow.
Right.
Welcome to the holidays at Goop. Some of you may know us from our ridiculous but awesome guide, our husband's guide, but truthfully, we love all the products in our guides. Here's a little peek at how we bring our gift guides to life.
It's kind of like the North Pole, except way more chic.
Except way more expensive, too.
Right.
And things that you would never actually buy for real.
I mean, it's absolutely nuts. I heard that she's going to sell that company for like $2 billion.
She says that once she sells the company,
yeah,
she is going to retire and you'll never see her again. Let's play which list was this on.
Okay.
So was it on Oprah's list?
Yeah.
Or was it on Gwyneth Paltrow's list?
I'm ready.
The original mortgage apple cake, $90. It's an apple cake and it's $90.
I'm going to say that that's on Oprah's list.
That is on Oprah's list.
Thank you very much.
I thought that was ridiculous. $90 for a Bundt cake, but I mean, maybe
it's very, 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 very tasty.
Okay. When you're looking to buy your pet a doghouse,
yes,
you probably think, I can only buy Hermes. So how much you think an Hermes Cavalletti doghouse would be? How much do you think that would be, Raven?
I know it's going to be expensive. You don't even say that correctly, I don't think. I mean, I don't know how to say it correctly.
It's Hermes. It's Hermes.
It sounds like $3,000.
It's $1,925.
Oh, my gosh. It's almost a bargain. Thank you.
It's plastic, though.
What? Wait a minute.
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't it have to be made out of leather?
No, it looks like a teepee, but it's plastic. And how much, whose list do you think that's on?
Well, it's got to be Gwyneth Paltrow's list.
That is Gwyneth Paltrow.
Thank you. I mean,
yeah.
Wow.
When you're going,
$1,900 in plastic.
Yes. I saw it. I was like, huh. At first, I was like, $1,900 for Hermes is not bad. And then I looked at it. And I was like, oh.
What a bargain.
Escargot picks, $567. It's exactly what you think. Picks to get escargot. It's six of them. And it's $567.
That's got to be Gwyneth Paltrow,
correct,
right? Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. I am good at this game.
How about a reasonable charcuterie map wooden maple leaf board that people would actually be happy to get for $75?
That sounds to me like Oprah.
Yes. If you're going roller skating, you have $5,000 to spare. Who do you think has Chanel roller skates for $5,150?
I'm just going to say this one, Oprah really just had to splurge. She loves rollerblading.
No, that would be Gwyneth Paltrow. I can't believe you didn't get that.
I'm sorry.
And one more. If you're looking for a studio gong and stand, a gong. A gong.
Okay.
Because everybody needs a gong in their life for $2,200. Where does that belong?
I mean, that's got to be Gwyneth Paltrow.
Correct.
Again.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 It's the little things in life that make you crazy, right? You know, whenever somebody does it, you just roll your eyes and you think to yourself, that's all I need to know about you. Here's your chance to get it off your chest. 1-800-330-9999. Wanda, that's all I need to know about you.
If you are a smoker and you stand directly outside the public door while you're smoking, that's all I need to know about you.
It is. You got to give some room.
I thought it was illegal to do that anywhere at this point.
I think that there's guidelines. I think you're supposed to be so many feet away, but a lot of people, I mean, who's policing that? Nobody.
I mean, right. But I thought it was like a federal thing even at this point. I didn't even think it was like a state law because certain states are stiffer on things than others. I've got neighbors didn't even know that I was a smoker, right? Like a little bit of discretion goes a long way.
Yeah. I thought you quit 17 times.
See? You didn't even know, though.
No, I did. Yeah. All right. Rebecca, that's all I need to know about you.
If you're a parent and when you're arguing with your kid, you say, because I said so, that's all I need to know about you.
I always said I was never going to be that parent that says, because I said so. But sometimes in the heat of the moment, I'll catch myself saying that.
Oh yeah. I mean, well, you say the variant of it all the time, too. It is what it is. It's the same thing.
Well, no, but that's what I say to you as an adult. Well, for my kids, it's different.
It's the same nonsense. It's a go-nowhere statement, right?
Yeah.
It's shut down any type of logical question or conversation after that. But you know something? Sometimes it is what it is.
I know.
And it is just because that's the way it is and because I said so.
It's true.
Right.
Yeah, but I get it. That should not be excuse for your children. But when you start getting into the weeds and you're trying to explain and they just keep coming at you because they're relentless. You know what? Because I said so, shuts it down.
Yeah. You know what? Sometimes they don't always deserve an answer. You're not all saints, children.
Linda, that's all I need to know about you.
If you find a way to lie about absolutely everything, that's all I need to know about you.
Oh, somebody's breaking up with somebody, Anna.
Liars. It's always interesting when you encounter somebody that you know is not telling the truth. Because I think as you get older, for the most part, it's rare, right? Like, you don't, why would you lie? You're an adult. Like, just tell the truth.
People can think whatever they want to. You make your choices, they make theirs. But no big deal.
But some people are just like pathological liars. They just lie about anything whenever they're given a moment to do so.
Yeah, it's strange.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. That's all I need to know about you.
If you must pull in front of the school bus when it's going 40 miles an hour with no regard to the students on board or the driver, that's all I need to know about you.
It's like they think it's easy to drive a school bus. Like, no big deal. I just
they
go
have,
right
no.
in front. Right?
Yeah, like I can stop. I can just stop. Okay. No, can't do that.
I'll tell you what is kind of easy. One of them massive school buses, which is basically a 2.5-ton truck driving right through one of those small little cars that pulls out in front of it. But, you know, they don't want to talk about that.
No. People are nuts. You're right.
They're crazy.
Anna and Raven's hell of a story.
Do you have a hell of a story? Whenever you tell that story, people are like, oh my goodness, I can't believe that happened to you. It's your turn to be the storyteller, and you can submit your story at annaandraven.com. Chris, you have a hell of a story. You're a hero.
I don't know if I'm a hero. I guess I just did what I would normally do in a circumstance. It was 2015. I think I worked total that day about 16 or 17 hours. On my way home, I was getting off the highway. Four or five cars parked on the right-hand shoulder and a tree across the highway. Drove around, I asked one of the people standing there. I said, is there someone in the car? I saw a car smoking, spun out on the grass. And they said, well, we don't know. I was also in the service, and the first thing I always used to tell my soldiers in Iraq is you assess the situation, then you address it. Drove my car quickly in front of the car, and when I looked, saw a man unconscious, bleeding profusely out of his head, and body was mangled. And when I looked in the back seat, I saw two car seats, and I'm a father of two little girls. My instincts really kicked in high gear. Door was locked, and normally I always carry a little pocket knife that has a seatbelt cutter and a glass breaker. Broke the glass, and I yelled across the street, can someone give me a hand? And I think they were more interested to see what was going to happen with the vehicle rather than actually helping the patron. Once I got the window broken, door unlocked, I said, can someone help me pull this man? Again, no one moved. Got the seatbelt off, dropped my phone, pulled the man about 20 feet away from the car. And there was a young man and his girlfriend actually driving by, and they stopped. I said, hey, is there anything I can do? And I told them, I said, here's the keys to my car. Park my car in between. Now the car is engulfed in flames. Insane. And he took my car. He parked it in between the guy and the car that was on fire. Combat life-saving skills kicked in, and I, you know, elevated the guy's feet so it would keep his blood towards his heart and brain, turned his head, and loosened his belt buckle and took my shirt off trying to hold compression onto his head because he was bleeding. State troopers arrived first. Ambulance firemen were all behind. And I'll never forget the words when the ambulance gentleman looked back at the state trooper and said, you know, thank God for you because this guy would probably be dead. State trooper looked at him and said, well, it's actually this man right here. And, you know, I dress up when I go to work. I had white polo pants on, a striped blue and white shirt, which was full of blood now. And the ambulance guy got up and he hugged me and he's like, we need more people around here like this. That's my hell of a story.
Wow. That is a hell of a story.
Chris, your situational awareness is striking. You know, obviously with your background, you know, a lot of that training will prepare you, but you sound very much to me a person who has a sense of duty.
You know, it's so many years later, and I hadn't got the opportunity to meet the man. And I keep telling myself I should just go to the state troopers department, pull the police report because I'm on there and see if I can find this guy. But
it's honestly very surprising to me that this man or his spouse hasn't tracked you down and found you, because, you know, you had everything to do with the fact that this man was able to live his life after that.
One last thing, Chris. You always carry with you a window breaker? Is that like an actual tool that I can buy? Because I feel like that should be something that lives in everybody's car,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. I have one in my wife's car, and I highly recommend it. They're just, you can get a cheap little Smith & Wesson knife for $20 off of whatever website you choose from, and it has a window breaker and a seatbelt cutter. It's literally like a razor blade. You cut it right through a seatbelt in the blink of an eye.
That's, Chris, yeah. I mean, we'd all be so fortunate to have you driving behind somebody that we cared about in the worst situation. So thank you for sharing. It's a hell of a story
it
right
sure
there.
It sure is. And if you have a hell of a story too, head to annaonraven.com. I should preface this by saying I don't know if it's true or not, because the fact checkers online are jumping down this person's throat.
Oh, the sleuths, they're after them?
Yep. But there was this meme that said in Salzburg, Austria, there is a special desk in the airport in case you landed in Austria by mistake instead of Australia.
Yeah.
And I read a stat that on average, 120 people a year accidentally travel to Austria instead of Australia every year. And I was like, what? What?
I mean, honestly, the first time you said it to me, it sounded a lot more crazier than it does when you say 120 people. Throughout the course of a year, I mean, I don't know, right? Is it possible?
I know that in Austria, it's like a tongue-in-cheek joke that there's like pictures of kangaroos everywhere. Mm. And like you could buy kangaroos at gift shops because
right.
people go there thinking that the kangaroos are in Austria, but they're not. They're in Australia.
Yeah, very different vibe, I'm guessing. You show up there and you think that you're going to be out there on the Grand Plateau, or you're going to be looking at the wallabies and that type of thing. And instead, it's like, you know, people in lederhosen, you know,
you don't even know.
They're walking around with chocolates, right? I mean, what else are they doing over there?
They're just walking around with chocolates in their hands. That's what they do.
All the time.
And then I was reading all the comments underneath and I was dying laughing because it was all these people that had stories about places that they thought they were traveling, but they went to the wrong place.
Okay.
So here's one. Lynn wrote, a conference presenter no-showed because she went to Rochester, Minnesota, but the conference was in Rochester, New York.
Oh, come on.
I mean, you got to, like, don't you check with your boss on where you're going?
I mean, if somebody is doing the reimbursement thing, that's why you submit before you go.
Somebody says, accidentally booked a trip to San Jose, Costa Rica instead of San Jose, California. I just, like, when you have to show your passport,
yeah.
doesn't that all of a sudden ring some bells? You're like, wait a minute.
Right.
This doesn't make sense.
Right. Why would you let me go here? Protect me from myself.
Another person wrote, I traveled to London, UK for a concert. Turns out it was in London, Canada.
Wow.
That's.
Who have you knew?
I mean, yeah, exactly.
I didn't know that there was a place, London, Canada.
I were making fun of these people. We're like, how did these things happen? But the so maybe about, I want to say a month and a half ago, it was a fight to who could tell me first, my best friend Danielle or my husband Paul. Danielle's husband Charlie had been so excited for over a month because his company had been asked to be part of a foursome at a very prestigious golf club for a tournament in Sleepy Hollow, New York.
Okay.
This golf club, I guess, like you have to be a fancy member or whatever.
Sure.
Charlie is not a huge golf person. Him and my husband golf together.
But enjoys
they're
excited to go.
Right. For a month and a half, Paul and Charlie, my husband and Charlie, went to go practice for him to be able to go to this fancy tournament that his company had gotten
and
him
do in. Well. Yeah.
And do well. They were so excited. Paul was so excited for his best friend, right, to do this. The morning of, it was pouring rain. And Charlie's like, there's no way the tournament can happen. There's no way. You know, he's all excited to travel to Sleepy Hollow. And well, okay. He calls the place and says, yes, we're ready, but is this tournament still happening? And they said, yes, of course it's happening.
Yeah.
You know, this is a scheduled tournament. Okay. They travel there. There is not a single person there. Do you want to know why?
Why?
Because it was in Sleepy Hollow, Ontario, Canada.
Wow.
Yes.
And the weather
really
was beautiful,
happened.
By the way, there.
Weather was gorgeous. These people had no idea what they were talking about.
Yeah.
So I guess these things happen, even though, like, you think, like, who can make a mistake like that?
I mean, I drove to the north rim of the Grand Canyon and thought it was going to be the place where everybody was hanging out. And this is before the Sky Bridge. There was nothing there.
Right. Well,
there was, and you think to yourself, I'll just go around a day and a half later.
Double check your tickets. Double check.
Good idea.
Anna and Raven's Pick'em News.
Three news stories, but you only hear about one. Raven picks which one it is. Are you ready for today's selection?
Give it to me.
Number one, funeral home is being sued by a family for giving them fake ashes.
Oh, come on.
Number two, man caught robbing bank with mom in car. And number three, it's yucky, this one. I don't even want to read it. Mm. Man claims Grubhub driver delivered him a cup of warm urine instead of milkshake. Don't pick that one.
I'm going to go with banks. Bank robbery, please. Okay. I love a good heist.
Pennsylvania man robbed a bank with his 90-year-old woman mom in the car and then fled from police.
Oh, no.
Here is the police chief talking about it.
Officers took him under arrest, but he had his 90-year-old mother with him in the car. We brought her in also. She was released later that afternoon. We had to send her home by Uber because there was nobody who could pick her up. I had never seen anybody hold up or steal with her 90-year-old mother in a car. So, you know, I wouldn't take my mother on a crime spree, I can tell you that.
I mean,
you know
right.
what? Listen, you released her. You guys couldn't drive her home.
I mean, they could hold her to Uber?
Yeah. Like, I mean, she's 90 years old.
Are you serious? Yeah. Like, all I kept thinking was, like, you couldn't put her in a cop car and bring her home?
Savvy what? Move, though, on the part of the bank robber, I'm thinking, because your mom is always going to believe the best of you, right? So if you just tell your mom, Ma, I didn't do it. Ma, you didn't do it. Dye pack exploded in the car inside the middle of the bills. Your mother will still probably believe you as the police are chasing you.
I just imagine that he, like, parked the car and he was like, Ma, take off your pantyhose. And she was like, Why, honey? I need your pantyhose. And then she's, you know, because only women over 90 still wear those, like, tan pantyhose, like the bank robbers. And she slowly peels them off, and he puts it over his head. And he goes to the door, and she's like, I don't know what Timmy's doing today. I hope he doesn't rip my pantyhose. I don't have any clear nail polish with me.
Oh, my gosh.
What?
I don't know that the people are doing the pantyhose over the face thing anymore.
Are you sure?
I'm not sure. I'm not a bank robber, so I'm always paying attention.
But you don't walk in with nothing on your face. And if you got your 90-year-old mother in the car, you know what you got? You got pantyhose. That's what you have.
Right. Readily available at any time at that moment right there.
Yes.
And the smell of that perfume that they just wear pounds and pounds of.
Oh, it smells like vanilla musk. You know, you can smell that vanilla musk in the pantyhose a mile away.
But when they rip him out of the car, she's going to be like, not my Johnny. He didn't do anything.
Is that why you needed my pantyhose?
He's been with me all day.
I hope there's not a tear in them.
He's such a good boy.
I don't know. Sometimes you see people do things and you're like, what are you doing, buddy? Like, what are you doing? I was at the grocery store, Raven, producer Sean, and I was standing in the checkout line and the line was super long. And I was watching this guy go up and down the aisles and he was like for real grocery shopping. Like, he had a full carriage. And he had his phone in his hand and his ear pods in his ears. And he was taking, it was a Zoom meeting. I could read his screen that it was a Zoom meeting. Camera on.
Wow.
Camera on. And I was like, you have to be the CEO of that company that you are taking this meeting with. Like, there were several faces on that thing. I could see it because he just kept walking by me because that line was so long. I was like, how do you take a Zoom meeting while you're getting your Uncle Ben's rice?
Isn't it so funny, too, that if we thought that that person was actually a CEO of a company, we'd be like, oh, they're so driven, right? They work so hard, they can't turn it off.
Never takes a moment break or a moment off. Yeah.
Right. I mean, he's just a creative force. But then when you see, like, a regular person doing it, you're like, what a trashy individual. Yeah. How are they doing this?
What a weirdo.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so funny.
Producer Sean worked in grocery stores for a long time.
Yes.
Sean, who are the kind of people you see at grocery stores, what do you see?
There's a laundry list. Some of my favorites, though, and like, well, least favorites. There's the person on the automated cart who doesn't need it. You always see like a teenager with nothing wrong with them driving around on it with their friends, or their friends trying to go in the basket. It's bending the cart and breaking it, but you can't say anything to them.
Yeah.
You can't say you can't be riding that, you know?
Right, because you don't know what the ailment actually is.
Yeah.
I remember after I had knee surgery, I'd feel so terrible even thinking about borrowing it. Here I am on crutches. I can hear my cartilage crunching underneath the weight of me. But I'm like, no. And then you see somebody buzz by you.
Yep. Some 16-year-old kid.
Just like,
just laughing about it. Yep. Hitting a horn.
Yeah, their friends in the basket.
Another cart related one is you see the people who leave the carts wherever they want, whether it's just they decide they're done shopping and they'll just leave it in the middle of the store with all the products in it, or you know when you're driving up and you're like, oh, that's a parking spot in front, and you're all excited, and the second you get up to it, there's just a cart in the middle of it, so now you have to get out and move it. Guys, there's corrals for a reason. Okay,
yeah.
Return them to the corrals or bring them to the store. Don't be that person. That's lazy.
I always think it's so funny when I see people abandon grocery carts like in the middle, like they're just in the aisle,
yep,
and you're
right.
Like, where's your owner?
What happened to this person?
What happened?
They disappeared.
Like in my mind,
turned
there
into
must
a vapor.
Have been an emergency phone call from a doctor or the school. They had to just jump ship.
They ran.
They ran.
I'm like, what? I'm on my way.
And then there's like chicken in there, and you're like, should I notify someone that this is here in aisle 6? 1-800-330-9999. People you see in grocery stores. Lorianne.
It's the people that are grocery shopping, scooting their buggy down, and they're drinking a Mountain Dew and eating chips while they do their shopping.
People that eat while they grocery shop, I always thought was odd.
Yeah, and I always figure that they're going to steal it, right? They're going to finish it, and they're going to put it back on a shelf. Opening a drink is one thing, because I've run into the grocery store before, and I've been like straight up parched, and grabbed one. But I got to tell you, the first couple times I did it, I was like, oh my God, is somebody going to tackle me?
Like, are there actual rules of the grocery store about whether you can open up the chips or the cookies and eat while you're shopping?
I think you're probably fine if you're paying for it. But, you know, you see those same people, those grazers, it's not like they don't know what the produce aisle looks like or where to find it. They're in there getting the grapes. Don't think they aren't.
How about like bagels? I used to give Hayden when she was little. It was part of our routine. We would go grocery shopping every week, and we would walk in. There's where the bagels were, the fresh bagels.
Yeah.
And I'd give her one to eat, and it would be gone by the time we got to checkout.
Oh!
But I would always say, like, oh, we also had a bagel. Because, you know me, like, I can't live with myself, you know?
I guess I'll have to take your word for it.
You see the wackiest people at grocery stores. Let's just be honest.
Well, because everybody has to go, right? I mean, most other stores or types of commerce, you can kind of hide away from the world. You can go at different hours or whatever. At the grocery store, you're going to see these people.
Yeah. 1-800-330-9999. The different kinds of people you see at the grocery store. Raven, producer Sean. Sean worked in grocery stores for years. I'm looking at our text line. I worked at a grocery store for 5 years, and customers used to come in pajamas and shower caps when it was raining outside.
Nice. That's just good planning.
That's the thing.
I have like a big thing where I don't let my daughter wear pajama pants outside of the house, right? But last night, I had to run to CVS really quick, and I had on like, I call them like my house black sweatpants because I don't leave the house in these black sweatpants.
Yeah.
And because I had to run out really quick to get it, I didn't realize I was wearing them. I walked into CVS and I was humiliated. I was like, but I feel like people leave a house all the time, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I do that.
Yeah. House sweatpants, sweatshirt, t-shirt that you would wear nowhere else, got some weird logo on it.
I mean, it had like stains. Like,
did you put the bra on?
Well, yeah, I never took it off.
Okay, so that's a big step.
If I took the bra off, I wouldn't leave the house. Everybody knows.
It's against the rules.
Once the bra comes off, we are done
for the
night.
That's a sign you're staying home.
Yeah. Another text says here, I worked for years as a manager, always fascinated. Oh, no, this is me. Always fascinated by the people that would push 15 gallons of milk out of the way to get to the back one. Same on the shelf. Sean, yes or no? If you look at the dates, there's ones that expire later. And I don't care if it's one day later. I feel like I won the lottery when I find that there's like a carton of milk or a thing of like the bakery of the cupcakes that's one day later, the expiration.
Listen, it's a catch-22, man. Like when you're a shopper, you're that person. You're like, you know what? I want to get the freshest one. But then when you're working it, you're like, dude, just take the one that's in front of you.
You got it. You got to get them to take it because they disrupt your whole system there. And then you know that you've got older product in front causes an issue. Got
to get rid of it.
I mean, how often do you really come up on bad milk, right? Just drink it.
No, I always, I am so crazy about this. I'm also the inspector of the fruit. So like if there's like a thing of strawberries, I'm the one that's holding it up to the light upside down.
I do that too.
And then you go to the under basket, the box that's under the box.
Right, exactly. Oh,
it's like I'm doing a science experiment.
Yeah. Right. Jonathan, the kind of people you see at grocery stores.
I see these kids that go into bathrooms and just vandalize.
Oh,
the people that mess up the bathrooms at the grocery store. That is a thing.
So many inappropriate things written in the bathroom stalls in there.
Yeah, I've noticed that. What happens when somebody writes in the grocery store bathroom stall? Like, it's somebody's job to take it down?
No, you call them for a good time.
All right.
you have to paint over it. But then it's ridiculous because it's never the same shade of paint. So it's just like, it just looked terrible. It's like all these polka dots of different colors in the stall.
Hey, Michelle, the people you see at the grocery store, who are they? Who'd you see?
Ones that bring their things, it's okay to bring their dogs in the grocery store and walk around with them. I know some are service dogs, but ones that are, they should be clearly marked, like they don't have a vest, they don't have papers, and they just, the dog's like running crazy around the store on a leash, like back and forth in the aisles and stuff.
Yeah.
If you're bringing the dog in somewhere, like I put them in a bag.
Yeah. What? You know? A bag?
Yeah. Bags are like 12 pounds. I mean, if I'm going to take them in somewhere, I can stick them right in my sweatshirt.
Dogs. I like dogs. I don't think they belong in a grocery store.
I agree. And I don't think they belong in restaurants either. I really don't. Unless there's like outdoor seating. Yeah. I don't think so. Sean, what do you think? Well, did you have to deal with that a lot?
You know, I got to say, very few times did someone come in with a dog on the leash. It was always the small dog, like Raven said, in like the little handbag or like just a tiny little Yorkshire Terrier or something. Never minded that. Yeah. It was always cute. Always wanted to pet it.
Especially if my baby's got his little shopping sweater on. Yeah.
Have you ever revealed something about yourself and then everybody gets really quiet and looks at you? And in your mind, you know they're thinking things that make you go, That happened at a meeting the other day. And Raven was sitting in that meeting. You could have stuck up for me.
I mean, when you said it out loud, it seemed strange. It struck me as odd.
I don't know how to ride a bike.
Things that make you go, hmm.
I haven't ridden a bike since I was maybe 7 years old, so I don't really know how. Radio Flyer reached out to me, and they were like, hey, we'd love to send you this bike. It's like a regular bike, but it's also an electric bike. And I was like, yeah, of course, send it.
Sounds awesome.
Awesome. But then I get it at my house, and I was like, I don't know how to ride a bike.
It didn't come with training wheels this time around?
No. I was like, wait a minute. Right. Where's the three wheels on the back? No. Yeah.
And if it's electric, too, you could almost put yourself in peril.
I definitely fell off it trying.
Oh, wow.
Somebody has to teach me how to ride a bike. And I was thinking about it. I'm like, it's one of those things that when people learn it about me, they look at me like I'm crazy.
Yeah.
But everybody has something like that, right? Like when you learn something about a person and you're like, Stephanie, how about you?
Every time I tell people I've never had a hamburger, they react like that.
Things that make you go,
How do you make it through your whole life without having a hamburger even once?
Here in America. Seriously.
Oh, it's just so gross to me. And like when people order it like medium rare, oh gosh. I just, even since I was a kid, I just never could stomach it. I don't know. Something about it.
Right now. Even a cow is disappointed somewhere. Somewhere there's a cow that's a little bit misguided, but thinking to themselves, that's weird, man.
My daughter is 14. She's made it that far without having a hamburger. And my little one, forget it. She won't even touch it.
But I really?
Think, yeah, at some point, she's got to try one. I keep thinking.
Make her.
Peer pressure has to come in at one point, right?
Hold her jaws open and shove it down there.
Yeah. All right, Tony, something about you that makes people go,
Yeah, actually, I have never once in my life tried ketchup, ever.
Things that make you go,
I mean, we got to get Tony together with her.
Right.
And they can make this whole thing happen in one day.
I mean, how do you, again, I get it. You just need something that grosses you out and you're not into it. It took me a long time to have mustard, like I would say into my college years.
Well, what is something that you would not eat if ketchup didn't exist, if you hadn't had it?
Well, the thing is like, I've never liked tomatoes. And I mean, I've tried tomatoes, but it was just like, I always knew that like ketchup was like kind of like the liquid, you know, juice of tomatoes for, you know, toppings. And it just kind of always grossed me out. I've just never,
What's something you won't eat without ketchup, Anna? You just absolutely would not eat it.
Nothing, because I don't love ketchup either, but I don't like frown at it or never tried it.
Yeah.
You know, I have to just very little dosages of it.
I understand that it's made from tomatoes, but with Heinz, I believe one of those 57 ingredients is magic.
Yeah.
Because it's delicious on certain things.
I will say the glass bottle makes it better.
Yeah.
Like when you get like the real Heinz bottle of ketchup, for some reason that tastes so much better than out of the plastic squirt bottles that everybody has, including myself.
I don't know. It just kind of makes me gag.
Things that make you go,
Did you ever reveal something about yourself and everybody just got real quiet and they're like, I was in a meeting and I casually mentioned that I didn't know how to ride a bike and everybody got real quiet. It's like, what do you mean? I'm like, I don't know how to ride a bike.
Things that make you go,
What's the thing about you that when people learn it, they go, 1-800-330-9999. Robin.
Big secret of mine. I have my license since I'm 19 and I don't drive. I am petrified and I always get around. And people will be like, you don't drive.
How do you get around?
Yeah.
My secret. I walk. I live right near the train station. There's Ubers.
Wow.
My husband drives. And I work right in my town. When I meet people, my husband goes, oh, my wife doesn't drive. And I'm like,
it's like the
really
first thing he says. That's odd. It strikes him as odd, right?
Icebreaker.
Like, really? Yeah, it's like, okay.
I don't think you're alone, Robin. I think a lot of people are probably in the same boat as you.
I think it's the kids now.
Andre, something about you that people go,
Every time I'm at someone's house and they offer me a beer, I reject it because I have no taste buds for beer. I can't tell the difference between a Heineken, a Corona, a Coors Light, Bud Light, or anything like that. They all taste the same.
The guy who won't drink a beer is somebody that some people will look weird at.
You're right, Andre, because if you were at my house and you were like, and I said, would you like a beer? And you were like, no, I don't have taste buds for beer. I would say,
you,
what?
If you said anything, if not, you would just catalog away that information. Right.
Anna and Raven, what's the thing that makes you go, about you?
Never had a beer in my whole life.
Well, you and our last caller should get together and go out on a date. They would be the perfect match.
He can't taste them, so he wouldn't know whether or not he's had one.
Right.
So you could slip one in the middle of his soda pop, and he would have no idea.
Things that make you go,
I'm looking at our text line at 1-800-330-9999. If I touch styrofoam, I get nauseous and terrible goosebumps.
What?
Imagine you have to, like, take something out of a box, and you're like, I can't. I'm sorry. I can't touch the styrofoam. I'll get goosebumps.
You can
and
never
nauseous.
Assemble anything for your kid. Like, forget it.
Huh?
Right.
Yeah.
I hate chili and beef stew. Both of them. Won't ever eat them. Not ever.
Why?
I absolutely despise them.
You know what I think is interesting about you that made me go, You know all the things about Friends. Like, if there's a question about Friends in our trivia, you'll know it. You've never actually watched a full episode of Friends, and I don't know how you can be our age and never have seen an episode of Friends.
Never in its entirety.
So weird.
What couple?
He just doesn't seem to understand why should I go to this wedding now.
Just say no.
One problem.
I want to see her get married. I want to be there for her.
Make an excuse. She can't go and, you know, call it a day.
You decide the outcome.
It's so awkward.
It's Couple Score on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about. And then it's up for you to decide who's right. Joanna and Mike. Joanna, what's going on?
Well, I'm going back to work, and we have a one-year-old. So my mother-in-law, my husband's mom, is going to be watching our child, which is great. I'm happy about that. But I just want to be protective, putting things up, you know, requesting her to do certain things. Like, you know, we've got little gates up and locks on the cabinets, you know, doorknobs, plastic doorknobs, things like that to protect the baby. But my mother-in-law thinks I'm being ridiculous, that I'm baby-proofing everything, and she thinks it's ridiculous. But I think it's very important. I don't think I'm being unreasonable.
Mike, what's your side of this?
Well, like, I grew up in a house that wasn't baby-proof, so that's where my mother's coming from. She didn't need to do any of that, and I made it all the way to here and now have a baby. And she's going to take care of the baby. Like, she, you know, she's a good grandmother, and that nothing's going to happen. I understand why you want to have, but I think it's kind of offending her.
No, I'm not offending your mother. I personally want to get cameras. I think we should put cameras up everywhere, too, if you want to be really honest.
You don't need cameras for what? So we can watch, why do we need to watch my mom watch our baby?
I understand both sides. I don't know if I could demand my mom to put up cameras inside the house and she's watching my kids, but the gates and the locks on the cabinets, it's hard.
Yeah, listen, my wife has already informed me, you know, we're gonna be watching a baby, so it's basically like, she's like, you know, we got to put all this stuff in the house, and I'm like, okay. I think you do whatever it takes to keep the parents calm and feeling secure. I love cameras in my house, and I'm just talking about my dog. So I can't even imagine with my baby there, you know. But with a family member, obviously, you feel like you're safe. Mike, I respect. You grew up. You're still alive. Congratulations.
If I ask my mother, who watched both my girls plenty of times, still watches my little one constantly, Mommy, I need you to put gates up in your house, she would laugh in my face.
Are you real? Is that
she
true?
She would laugh in my face.
I figured she already had them.
Nope. Absolutely not. She would never. My father would never let me drill a hole in the wall for a gate. But your mother, she's right there. Well, I don't understand.
Wow.
Let's see what the audience has to say. Is Joanna being unreasonable for wanting to have her mother-in-law put up the baby gates and the baby proof the house and put up some safety cameras?
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Joanna and Mike have a one-year-old son. Joanna's getting ready to go back to work, and Mike's mom has offered to watch the baby full-time, which is great news. They could save all the money on the daycare. But Joanna just says, that's great. I'm so glad your mom could help out. Just one thing, though. She's got to baby-proof her house.
Yeah.
She's got to put up the gates. She's got to put up all the locks on the cabinets. She's like, I would actually really like it if she put the cameras in, too.
You know, I understand Joanna's position. I mean, I am a helicopter pet parent, for gosh sake. So, I mean, what would I do with a baby and with a grandson arriving soon enough? I'm thinking to myself, you know what? I want to do all those things. But sometimes for certain people, they feel like it's a hard ask.
Well, Mike is like, we can't ask my mom to do all those things. My mom has raised all her children. She doesn't need all that stuff. Her job is literally to watch the baby. She's going to sit there and watch the baby. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Tana and Raven, whose side are you on?
Yes, how you doing? The mom is absolutely 100% correct. I am a retired public servant of 21 years and seen accidents beyond. So you want to avoid all the accidents that could possibly happen, and you put up your gates and you put up your protection, and you'll be good to go.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. Joanna and Mike have a one-year-old son. Joanna's getting ready to go back to work, and Mike's mom has graciously offered to watch their baby so they don't have to pay for daycare, which is great, and Joanna is thankful, but she would like for Mike's mom, her mother-in-law, to baby-proof the house. She would like cameras. She definitely wants baby gates. She wants all the cabinets locked. Mike says, my mom doesn't need to do that. She knows how to watch a baby.
Listen, it must be anxiety-inducing quite a bit to be returning to work anyways and leaving your child with anybody. You know, your mother-in-law included in that group, right? When you look around the house, you see danger. You see danger lurking around every corner. Mike's answer is, I grew up fine. I survived. But Joanna is just concerned.
What do you think? Is it wrong for her to ask her mother-in-law to do all this baby-proofing? 1-800-330-9999. Aaron, whose side are you on?
I'm on his side. I have a 1- and a 2-year-old, but I just trust my mom to watch them. I think it's too much.
Yeah, like, that's it. I can't even imagine asking my mom. Be like, hey, Ma, can you put... I mean, she would laugh in my face. How do you think you survived,
yeah,
Anna? Anna, whose side are you on?
I'm on the mom's side. Accidents are one of the leading causes of death in children. And if this dad ever went to any of the well baby checkups, they would have emphasized that. So gates, poison control, like, I mean, come on.
I just remember running into one of my family members, like, glass topped tables.
Oh, no. I'm the person that's always crazy about the corners of tables
and
the revolving doors.
That's why you put those little corner holders on, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I grew up in the, like, early 80s, so they were like, no, forget it, kid.
They just use their hands.
Yeah, you're a survivor. You're here to tell the tale. What about all the dead kids?
Right.
what about
all those kids? Oh, my gosh.
I didn't know that it was going to escalate into a situation where I would say something crazy and then she would out-crazy me.
Right.
Hey, Lisa, what do you think? Whose side are you on today?
Definitely the husband. Unless the wife wants to work overtime and pay $1,400 to go to a daycare facility that will allow cameras and follow the Department of Health safety regs, I think grandmas are just fine. What an insult to even go there. It just shows a sign of immaturity or a new parent who is really just over-worried and over-anxious. No grandmother should have to have cameras in her house. And yes, safety procedures like putting up turpentine or something. But other than that, we got to keep it real.
Mic drop.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Joanna, our audience agreed with you today. The cameras, not so much. But definitely just having the basics, plugs in the outlets, the handles on the cabinets and the gates up, it's not asking that much, especially if you're willing to foot the bill for it.
I mean, let's put a rubber corner on one of them glass tables. Are you serious? Come on.
Thanks, you guys. I appreciate that.
I mean, you're just going to feel so much better. Mike, I get what you're saying. You know, you don't want to offend your mom, but I mean, these are silly problems to have if it could have been avoided, right? So, I mean, just get stuff that's not going to damage your house or furniture when they put it on.
I can see the compromise there. The cameras just seem a little too crazy, though.
Yeah, the cameras, that might be more resistance.
Right.
You're going to do what? In my house? What?
Doorbell, a ring doorbell for safety from outside intruders or security system, fine. But once they're inside the house, what does it matter? It's all done.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't be Raven. Be Raven and pop culture trivia. Win the jackpot.
The Can't Be Raven cash jackpot is $1,800. Hey, Anthony, you ready to play today?
Hey.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
You got it. Good luck, man.
All right, Anthony.
Good luck. Thanks.
Raven's walking out of here. That big door is going to close. He's not going to be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'm going to bring him back in, ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
Ready.
Number one, Zoe Kravitz and Channing Tatum are engaged after 2 years of dating. Her stepfather, also known as Aquaman, is super excited and takes credit for their relationship. Who is he?
It's... I don't know.
That's okay. Number two, The Simpsons may have dropped another prediction, and if it's true, Elon Musk may be selling X, formerly known as Twitter. How many children do Homer and Marge have?
Three.
Number three, Amy Robach and TJ Holmes announced their new podcast together after they were fired from what TV show after news broke of their affair?
Pass. Oh, man.
That's okay. Four, Lindsay Lohan and the other Mean Girls, they reunited for a Walmart Black Friday commercial. On Wednesdays, we wear what, Anthony?
Pink.
At number five, 71 people had to be evacuated from Disney World's monorail after it got stuck on the tracks. Who was the original voice for Mickey Mouse from 1928 to 1947? Take a guess.
I don't know.
Okay, let me bring Raven back in.
Yo!
Terrible.
It's the most obvious.
It's terrible.
That's okay. 2 out of 5 for Anthony.
Not great. $1,800. Here we go.
Number one, Zoe Kravitz and Channing Tatum are engaged after dating for 2 years. Her stepfather, also known as Aquaman, is super excited and takes credit for the relationship. Who's that?
Jason Momoa.
Yes. Number two, Simpsons may have dropped another prediction, and if it's true, Elon Musk may be selling X, formerly known as Twitter.
He's going to make lots of money.
How many children do Homer and Marge have?
They got 3 kids.
They do. How many children does Elon Musk have?
It's 10 or 11.
He has 11 kids.
I was going to say 9.
Yeah, isn't that wild? 11 kids. Like, I don't know why that wasn't on my radar. Why do we keep making fun of Nick Cannon when Elon Musk has 11 kids?
Because Elon Musk is the richest man in the world.
Okay, number three, Amy Robach and TJ Holmes announced their new podcast together after they were fired from what TV show after news of their affair broke?
It was Good Morning America, hour 3.
That's right. Number four, Lindsay Lohan and the other Mean Girls reunited for a Walmart Black Friday ad. On Wednesdays, we wear what?
They wear pink.
They do. And number five, 71 people had to be evacuated from Disney World monorail after it got stuck on the tracks. Who was the original voice for Mickey Mouse from 1928 to 1947?
I mean, I have no idea, so I'm going to just take a shot and say Walt Disney.
Walt Disney's right.
Yeah, you don't have to pay yourself.
All right. I'm sorry, Anthony. 5-2 today. That's going to get you an Ann on Raven t-shirt.
Thanks, guys. I cannot beat Raven.
Better luck next time. $1,900 tomorrow, Anna.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.